Let me tell you about a man that I have met.
Hey.
They call him Captain or Wizard. Don't forget. CJ Morgan's his name, and he wanted to start a show. So we did. Now you're listening to him on that dang old radio.
My day pretty much began with my girlfriend rolling over to me in bed and saying, "You psycho."
Really?
Yeah, I've.
Did you have a dream that you did something naughty, or
did you talk in your sleep?
No, I straight up did something. Oh. And
in your sleep though?
She came home last night, fell right asleep after, you know, working the ATX comedy hour and doing a show, and then kind of had that thing where if you fall asleep early at like 9, 10 o'clock, you wake up late. But I've been very good about not like being crazy in front of my neighbors. But at some point at 2:30 in the morning, she was like, "Don't you think it's time to come in and go to bed?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I got to put the fire out." Oh. And so I put the fire out, and she's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Well, I'm melting aluminum." So I was,
why?
I was out in the, that's what she said. She woke up this morning and said, "You psycho, melting aluminum."
Did you not see the stuff that he texted us last night? He bought, I saw that you bought a crucible, and I was like, oh, he is going to try to build a smelting factory.
I was like,
in his
surely
backyard.
You need more than just that crucible thing, that bucket essentially.
I had gloves and I had crucible tongs.
That's it? You don't have, like, I don't actually have no idea what else goes into a forge, so I can't even argue.
A lot more than that, but my...
Yeah, that's what I thought, at least.
I was just kind of playing with it because, essentially, yesterday was a great day in my neighborhood because today, the tree trimmers and, like, all those people, you take your scrap branches and crap to the neighborhood, which means last night, I went driving around acquiring firewood. Y'all remember Daniel Gallo?
Yeah,
used to work here? He would always say, he would always get found wood.
Found wood and curb wood.
Found wood and curb wood was his saying. And yesterday I was like, man, we made so much fun of Daniel for what I'm doing right now.
Right.
Well, don't save old t-shirts for something nefarious.
Did you build any kind of bellows system out of a leaf blower?
I did out of just having my own fan or my own like hand kind of pump.
You got to get a little bellows thing. Now, those things look awesome.
I've made one before out of a PVC pipe and then a leaf blower on one end, and you can get that air swirling in there.
Well,
and
see, the leaf blower.
Hot.
I know leaf blower would be too loud. I didn't want to get in trouble.
You're like,
so
I know it's 2 a.m. I better think about my neighbors.
Well, I didn't mean to do it till 2 a.m. It's just it takes a while because a campfire gets up to like 300 degrees. You have to, aluminum melts at like 1,000. So, like Matt said, you have to get it really hot. And my plan was to get the bottom of the crucible hot and surround it with constantly burning stuff. But as long as the bottom was hot and I could feed oxygen, I knew that smaller pieces of aluminum would melt. And you put a little bit of salt in there and it helps. And then once I had a little bit of molten aluminum, it made it easier to stack stuff on top.
Did you try looking up maybe on YouTube or Google some how-to videos first? Or is this just a random, I'm going to just go in balls to the walls and not think about it and just try?
Mostly just try. Okay. But remember, I worked at an aluminum smelter. I worked at a metal yard when I was younger, so I know a little bit about it. Granted,
did you get any of the aluminum melted last night?
I did. I like I said, I got partially pretty melted, but then like as the night wore on, it was hard to keep the fire hot enough. So it started just like getting kind of like this more chalky texture, and that was where some of the slag was floating to the top.
You got to clear that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's not easy to do unless you have like a good hot fire. And I'm not going to make it hotter because it's getting later and later at night.
Now you have a torch.
Well, yeah, that's today's phase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, today's phase is all torch phase. Plus, I kind of learned. You know, yesterday I was just experimenting with it. Now I learned.
Yesterday you were just filling the neighborhood with smoke.
They wouldn't let much
today,
smoke.
Today, you'll get down to business.
Yeah.
No one's windows were open overnight.
Well, see, what I'm going to want to do, because I got that pretty big fire pit, and it's pretty deep. At the bottom, I have bricks, so I'm going to set like a grill grate down, crucible on top of that, brick around it, and then just keep underneath really hot, and that's where I'll use the torch to kind of
You should torch the top of it,
cook
actually.
It. Well, I'm going to torch all of it. Don't worry. Yeah. There's going to be torching.
I used to do a lot of silversmithing and goldsmithing, and that's you just get right on it. Don't be afraid to heat that up.
To go. Yeah. I once tried to fix something using that torch.
Yeah, that crucible is made to be an insulator. So if you try to heat underneath it, it actually will not heat up you need to get heat. You need to get flame on off the top.
On the really because yeah. what I was noticing is it would get glowing red hot on the bottom, and that's right. what would make the bottom melt. So the crucible, I thought heating the crucible almost like a cast iron pan was kind of what was helping it.
So you didn't watch how to videos, I see.
No, because I wanted to play with it first. It's a new toy.
You'll be better off if you got that torch. Just hit it from the top. What are we doing? What does this have to do with radio? I just realized that you suckered me into one of your conversations.
Because it's fun.
And I'm furious with you.
You got excited about melting aluminum.
I'm furious with you right now that you suckered me into one of your craziness.
I did. I forgot I was on the radio, too.
Did you happen to make anything out of your melted aluminum last night?
No, not yet. Not yet. But I'll bring out some aluminum.
Guess what he's going to make today out of his melted aluminum? Blisters on his fingers.
Yep, absolutely. Polio, no Molio. That's a good one. All right, here we go. Today's the greatest because back in 1953, American medical researcher Dr. Jonas Salk announces here on the radio a great chance to defeat polio. A successful vaccine has been tested against the crippling disease of polio. See, that's how old radio sounds.
Well, there was one guy that sounded like that, but he got fired for sounding like that.
Oh, yeah, just one voice. He was the Cubs announcer, and
they won the pennant. The Cubs won the pennant.
Yeah, they had to get rid of him.
God, my ears hurt.
You think it hurts out there, folks? But we're literally next to him right now.
But that's really how it happened. Dr. Jonas Salk announced on a national radio show that he had successfully tested a vaccine against polio in 1950 year. It was an epidemic year for polio. There were 58,000 new cases reported in the U.S. More than 3,000 died from them. Yikes. If you recall, previously, one of the longest serving presidents we had suffered from polio. And man, I saw a meme the other day of FDR running during his fourth term, the election, and they're like, if you think the two guys running now weren't fit to serve, this guy, then he looks rough. And it's like, oh, that's pretty bad. That is pretty bad. But FDR famously, probably the most famous case of someone suffering from polio.
CJ, what is polio?
It's a disease that puts you in a wheelchair.
Oh. Nailed it. Not always.
That's it.
Autoimmune something, and then I don't know, Spencer, you looked it up. I can tell you're looking it up.
I just looked it up.
I'm just hanging here on a limb.
I was about to support you.
I don't know, because we almost eradicated it. That's true. Science, because they put the jab out there.
Poliomyelitis is an infectious disease caused by the polio virus. It's that simple.
Yeah.
75% of cases are asymptomatic.
Yeah. But for some people, they would get polio, and it would affect their ability to walk, sometimes their ability to use their arms as well.
Yikes.
Not everybody was affected the same. Sort of like another disease that actually had a lot more deaths, but we were told it was just the cold.
It's the jab.
Even saying here, years after recovery, post-polio syndrome may occur with a slow development of muscle weakness, similar to, anyway, it's kind of like long COVID to a degree. Yeah. You get it, you have it for
a while.
If you just pass it on.
You dang big media, George Soros, Fauci libs. I'm not here to talk about polio to make a comparison to...
You just wanted to do your cool little radio guy voice.
To the COVID, all right? I just wanted to do the radio voice, and I still think we should completely do a vaudevillian-type radio show, but make it all AI-generated, so it's the future and the past.
It is odd that you don't see people who've lost their ability to walk from polio anymore. When I was growing up, you did. All my parents had friends. They were older, but they all had friends who had all suffered from polio and lost their ability to walk or maneuver. And you probably don't see it anymore at all.
I'm guessing you got a polio vaccine when you were born, right?
As a kid.
I have a scar, but I don't know. I don't think it was polio. It was probably measles.
No, by the time I was a kid, you drank a little thing. It tasted like bubble gum or something.
So I'm guessing the little scar I had was measles, something, mumps, something like that.
I think that's because you didn't listen one time when Dad was smoking.
Put a cigarette
burn.
Yeah.
Or
this will keep the polio away.
Or I was a really cool high school teen. No, yeah. I like that. Oh, you got polio? Here you go. Cigarette on it. Dads back then. But it changed a lot of things, obviously. As Matt said, you see a lot less people dealing with it. But, I mean, I guess if we're going to tie into something modern, Is it making a comeback? Are we taking cases in smaller down and out countries and comparing it to people not wanting to get vaccinated against
polio
COVID?
Polio vaccines were so cheap to manufacture that we did spread it all around the world. And polio is reduced around the world. Now, there are pockets that come back from time to time. The other unfortunate thing is that polio can actually be transferred to other primates. So there are occasions when other primates will suffer. It'll go through a pod of like orangutans.
Yeah.
We'll all get...
Those guys are pretty cool. We don't want them getting sick.
I think other orangutans. And they're overlooked, too, because they're not as cute and cuddly as the chimpanzee.
They look scary a little bit.
I'm going to be honest. I don't want to be on a TV show with either of them.
They will rip your face off.
They absolutely will.
All primates, we think of them as cute.
Yeah.
They all have, I was going to call it superhuman strength, but actually they just
have... I know what strength you were going to call it.
They just have regular primate strength. It's not superhuman strength. We're the weakest
normal
of the primates.
Yeah. Well, the point of all this is please get your polio vaccine today, as announced by Jonas Salk. And now, here's Clumbo the monkey to do the news. And that's today's CJ Morgan Show.
All the colors of the world. And, you get to be the master of them.
It's time for Parent Pickup.
Hey, it's Matt Bearden, the master of our minds, teaching us every day on the Parent Pickup here on the CJ Morgan Show.
As always, I try to look for something that parents might be interested in, but everybody might also be interested in. And I think I've got it covered for today. Are you guys familiar with Color Our Collections?
No.
I'm assuming that you're not, because I wasn't until very recently. It was launched by the New York Academy of Medicine Library. So it's not the New York Academy of Medicine. It's their library in 2016. And it's an annual coloring festival on social media. It was originally done to try to raise awareness for the libraries. And what they did is they took all of their stuff that was no longer under copyright, and they would just make it black and white, and they put it out there. You can get PDFs and color them.
No, that's
awesome.
Kind of cool.
So coloring a lot of human bodies,
That's how it started 8 years ago.
Well, if you think about it, it saves a lot of money too, because then you don't have to buy the food at the restaurant. Can just do it at home.
We'll find a picture of a dinger for you to pay, color.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
This is parent pickup. Okay, not the dinger segment. This is for parents and their children. There's children's day.
This is also science. It's called Junculus Humungi.
Yeah. There are now 93 libraries and museums that have combined on this.
Hey, we need funding. Please pay attention to us.
It's a little bit for that. But I will tell you this. It's pretty awesome. That's a lot of libraries. There's 300,000 images out there that are black and white that you can download.
Whoa.
And then color. Kids like coloring.
It's also a fun project because it's cool historical or stuff from manuals.
Well,
yeah.
It's also kind of nice because it's not just, it's still Disney has the corner on coloring books. They're cheap. You get them at the HEB or whatever. Your kids kind of color them. This tends to be more fun. And I'm using loosely, can do a little bit of learning here. That's not heavy learning, but there's some cool stuff. Now, you would like this because some of the libraries, CJ,
you can burn them afterwards.
Some of the libraries, CJ, focus on medieval times imagery.
Whoa.
So you could guys in their suits of armor and
the UFOs above them. And you're like, what? Why is there a UFO over Leipzig in the...
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
And I'm serious about this. What time did you take your meds today?
Very late.
Okay, because you were so wound up on today's show that I was like, I kind of suspect that you took it right before you walked in.
Sorry, man. I'm sorry.
No, why would you be sorry? It's your show. You get to do whatever you want to with it. I just noticed some days it's harder to get something out of you, and today you are nonstop wind up.
I'm just still excited about Clumbo the chimpanzee from our last segment,
which was a completely over the top segment. May have been fueled by your Ritalin.
Yeah, it was a segment about the cure of polio, and I ended up doing an impression of a monkey on the radio.
Yes.
Pictures of monkeys you can color in there?
I bet they do. Matt, tell us more about them.
There are all kinds of photos. And maybe you're just like, there's nothing here for me. There's something for everybody. The Harley Davidson Archives has made all of their archives available. You can download a bazillion photos of different Harley Davidson stuff. You can color it. You can put it up in your garage workshop.
Crank your hog to it, right,
just
CJ?
Two color, just one crayon that's black, one crayon that's gray.
Stanford University libraries, which that's basically just pictures of everyone who works in tech. It's photos of them.
Yeah. Boring. Let's add some color to that.
Matt, you grew up in the late 70s and 80s. Do you ever remember those felt posters and markers that, like, I don't know. My parents were into drugs when I was younger, so they did those.
I don't know what you mean.
They would, like, color, like, a mushroom, like, poster.
Yeah, so
it was all felt.
Exactly. So it was a big, like, it was a big poster, and it had, like, dark, matted felt that you could touch and feel, but it had black light colors.
They were flocked, and it was flocked black. I know what you're talking about. They had them at Spencer's Gifts in the 80s.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, well, later on, Spencer's had, like, cheaper versions
and
stuff.
That's the right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny that you bring that up, because the reason I brought it up is, look, you can download this stuff for your kids. That's fine. The reason I'm bringing it up is that I know a lot of adults, like, out there, You can put this in a tablet app,
you
like
can,
Procreate.
Well, you can put it on your iPad and do this. Is something
you
my fiance
like
does.
I know,
yeah,
a lot of people like to color on their iPad, but I also know that people like you, CJ, and some of our other friends like to sometimes dabble in
dance
substances,
dance,
and that you might like to color while you're relaxing. Hey, here's the thing.
One time we were on substances, and I had a friend that was visiting town, and he hadn't done a substance in a long time, and he locked himself in my girlfriend and I's bathroom, so we thought to make him feel better, we would draw him happy pictures and comics, and yeah, we would just slip him under the door while he was in there.
He's just getting all these notes and stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
Demonic pictures.
Here's a funny thing. CJ was actually on substances. That wasn't even a friend of his out of town. That was Clumbo. That was Clumbo, his monkey.
Oh, Clumbo, no!
Anyway, search the hashtag #ColorOurCollections. #ColorOurCollections, and that will take you to over 90 libraries and museums.
Great idea for the radio show. Let's have a Clumbo coloring contest. All right, Matt, I realized while we're planning to do the Sweet 16 Pick'em, where we're using darts to determine who is going to get the top seeds in the bracket, I realized you and I both had recent shoulder injuries.
Yeah.
So this might not be the best idea, right?
It's going to be tough, but we'll make it happen, right?
Okay, let's
have
do it.
Have we ever done anything because it was a good idea?
Or easy? No. It's all right. Bad ideas. Well, and we're going to screw up the wall in the studio.
We'll use this line right here in the carpet as
okay.
a line.
We each get to throw one dart. Matt misses, and
well,
we're just...
Had that hit, though. That's right on line with Houston.
That's
I had Houston.
H-Town's a pretty tough one. All right,
do you
want to
come
go.
Over here so yeah. that we can actually do this and with a little bit of speed? Okay. Oh, you're a lefty. I forget that. I can grab your booty.
Oh,
did you
UConn.
Just grab? Did you just grab UConn that quickly?
Woo! Yeah, that's who I picked in my bracket. But again, what's fun about this is it's not only are we picking what we think is the top teams, but anything can happen in these brackets. There we go.
So you get UConn.
Yes.
And I'll get.
You'll get. Oh man, I'm starting to feel bad for you.
Why is that?
Are you rope-a-doping me?
I literally, my shoulder is got that injury when I fell out of a tree, and it just doesn't, my arm doesn't work like it's supposed to, so.
We're both going for Houston, because again, you want to hit the top-tier team with your darts.
I have a feeling we may go over in this segment, so, I mean, I like what we're doing here, but it could be
a little
difficult.
Matt, do you feel weird if you're not holding all the darts when you're throwing them?
No.
Nope.
But I like that you're just going for... Are you going to try to get Houston and UConn?
Yes. That's, I mean, the whole goal of this is to try to get the top teams.
The hardest part about this is throwing only one dart at
right.
a time. Like, I'm used to using the first dart to set an idea of where I should throw the second and third. Fantastic. You
wow.
just picked up another hot team.
Marquette at number two for CJ.
Guys, can I throw some darts?
You can. You want to? I mean, you might actually be able to help me by... Well, wait, why are you marking out the whole matchup there?
Well, because obviously if I got Marquette, you get the other team.
That's not what you said. You said whatever we hit are the teams that we get.
Well, yeah, that sounds like a rule you just came up with.
It does. Well, it is a thing that he does is to come up with rules as we go along.
Well,
you would have crossed that out much earlier,
it
right?
It doesn't make sense to have the same team competing against another team. I don't know. I didn't think this through. I just assumed... That if you get one in a bracket, the other person gets the other one.
I mean, I was hoping that you would get also San Diego State, and then that would take you out of it. Yes!
See, and like that, I just hit Duke, which means Matt gets Houston. See, I was being nice. Yeah, now I like your dumb, stupid rules.
All right, now that we're all on the same page.
I wouldn't call it the same page. I would just call it the luck of the draw here. All right, I'm going to stop
just go ahead and
trying
throw.
To honk at that thing on the right and see what happens when I throw on the left here.
Okay.
Oh.
Matt just nailed one. Number 7, Clemson.
Good job, Matt.
No, that doesn't do me any good. That's like the lowest ranked team, and it's even left on the board.
I'm just proud you got one.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Sorry
I appreciate
for being
that.
Encouraging.
Well, do me a favor. Encourage something good. Not
all right, now I'm
going to
go
behavior.
For. I'm going for Purdue.
So I guess my strategy here is really just to let CJ hit the wrong things because I can't seem to get anything here today.
Dang.
That literally almost didn't land in the same room. Okay, it's silent. CJ's taking a shot right now. And he hit number 3, Illinois, giving me number 2, Iowa State. And see, this my new plan is really working out where I don't go for anything. Now, CJ, what's going to happen with the – are we getting money? What are we placing money? What's happening with all this?
Yeah, lots of money.
Oh.
A miss for Matt.
If they're all going to be misses, I can't make my arm go straight. So there's no, it's impossible for me to play this game. It's not like there's real money on it.
If I'm not getting the number ones, then you're right, Matt, because I'm missing my intended target and giving you higher valued ones.
All right, help me out here, Spenny.
Should I? Oh,
dang
CJ.
It. I just hit Gonzaga, giving him a number one Purdue.
Yeah, except Gonzaga is one of those teams that will probably knock off Purdue. This will all work out for you.
All right, let's pause it here. We each have 2 number one seeds. We'll continue playing darts off air, and we'll figure out who wins this sports bet and how much money is going to be presented and how I'm going to change the rules. Video up soon at CJ Morgan Show on social media. And, man, I want to leave work and play darts now. Oh, Willie, where have you gone? Let's take a look at some of the headlines, the non-tragic ones and angry political ones gracing our fine area.
Yeah, this just came out, I guess, around noonish today, but Willie Nelson has this famed Willie Nelson 4th of July picnic. It's happened before out at, like, Luckenbach, Texas. It's happened at Circuit of the Americas recently. It's been happening at Q2 Stadium. This year, you're going to have to go a little farther out than Q2 Stadium if you want to catch the picnic.
Oof, okay.
It's going to be in Philadelphia.
What?
Wait a second.
Yes.
I mean, okay, are we in a bicentennial quadro? Are we coming up? No, we're not, because it would be 76.
Correct.
I guess it's one of the, I mean, if there's a place to hold a July 4th party, I guess one of the states.
Listen, I'm not going to argue.
It's got
the
Liberty Bell.
It makes sense, but why wouldn't we do one in Texas, too? Is it just too hot?
Well, A, I don't know if you've been in the past couple of years, but it's been excruciatingly hot.
Way too miserable.
The picnic started in 1973, and the very first one was in Dripping Springs, actually, back in the day. And then it's moved around, like I said. Now, here's the thing. He did kind of really expand the lineup for this one this year. There's a couple of
K-pop bands.
Well, Mavis Staples and Maren Morris, who are younger, like soul and also country acts, are on there. Allison Krauss is on there, who sometimes spent some time in Austin. And a friend of hers, a guy named by the name of Robert Plant, will be there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with Robert Plant.
I've heard that
apparently
guy.
He used to be in some other band. It was called like Red Zeppelin or something.
Yeah,
he sings that one weird song about like
immigrants.
That's the one. That's why we wanted.
The lineup also features a guy named Robert Zimmerman.
Oh.
Ever heard of him?
Old Bob Dylan.
Yeah, that's Bob Dylan's real name. Bob Dylan's going to be there as well. It's happening at Freedom Mortgage Pavilion in Camden, New Jersey.
So basically,
I said Philly. It's actually in Camden, New Jersey. I love there's nothing better than it happening in Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. There's nothing less free than a mortgage.
At least I got the first word right, I guess.
I bet what happened is Willie's people reached out and like, hey, y'all want to play this? And they're like, yeah, man, anything for Willie. And then they're like, wait, in Texas? In July? No way.
No way. Yeah. It was, I think last year, they ended up measuring, and I want to say it was like 116 degrees on the Q2 Stadium field in the middle of the day.
Why didn't they turn on the AC?
Because it doesn't do anything any good in an outdoor stadium.
Yeah, that's pretty miserable, and that sucks. But it feels like it's a staple of Central Texas. It's just weird to have it somewhere else.
I had heard from somebody coming in the building. They were like, yeah, can you believe the Willie Nelson moved the picnic to Philadelphia? And I looked it up, and I got to say, they really missed an opportunity by putting it in New Jersey and not having Willie and Philly. To me, really makes a
Willie
lot of
and
sense.
Philly. Yeah. Well, what I'm confused about is it's in New Jersey, but you don't have the two sons. You don't have Bon Jovi, and you don't have Bruce Springsteen.
Well,
that
you don't
seems like
currently. I wouldn't be surprised
enough
if either of those were to add on drop.
Didn't
in
make an appearance or something.
That'd be cool. Now, do we know if Kermit the Frog's going to be out there as well? I heard he recently did a duet with Willie.
You know what? That might work. Some good old felt Muppets. It's not going to burn your hand up in the heat of Texas, but that's
they made those Muppets really breathe. That's the thing.
That's kind of it's still just a weird bummer. Like, I get it with the climate, and even, you know, it makes me think about a lot of Texas movies and TV shows that are based in like Texas, but they'll shoot them in New Mexico and Louisiana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Rick Perry got mad at Machete. It's a sad thing to see it go away.
I'm glad he's good now.
I'm going to be honest, traveling, I never would have gone. It's too. I would have been like, when I had friends bring that up, I'd be like, nah, dude, it's too hot.
Yeah.
No. You want me to stand outside at a festival ground? No.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to get tickets in the pit for this show, right there up front, they're going to start $400.
Start the pit when Kermit walks out.
Doing the moshing. Or what's that punk, the skank dancing that they do for punk
skanking
music?
Yeah.
Yeah, but do that just for Willie Nelson's.
Did you just call it skanking?
I don't know what it is. It's a weird dance word.
Please, can we please call it skanking?
Yeah,
so much better that way.
Hey, go skink to Willie Nelson. Well, it's a sad thing that he's gone, and you know what? The rest of the news, too sad. Too sad to get it. Cats did save people from a house fire, though, so congrats there. All right, it's time to play Weezer Rhyme Time Mad Lib on the Captain's Jib. Spencer and Matt both representing listeners who want to win tickets to see Weezer play. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, gentlemen, I need y'all to grab a piece of paper.
Okay.
And write down five words that rhyme with Weezer.
Okay.
Just five words that you
just
think
randomly.
Are, yeah,
okay,
kind of in order of what you think the funniest word is first. So go ahead and do that, and I'll tell the fine people about the show. It's Weezer doing the Blue Album in its entirety. Flaming Lips and Dinosaur Jr. are the support acts on that, which
nice,
is pretty rad. September 27th at the Moody Center. Tickets, details, 101x.com.
You said you need five words?
Five total words.
You can't use Weezer.
Yeah, they rhyme with Weezer. And now what we're going to do, I'm going to give you this piece of paper.
Okay.
And I've made some Mad Libs. And what I want you to do is write the rhyming Weezer word into the Mad Lib.
Okay.
They're labeled 1 through 5. They coordinate with the Mad Libs. And you're each going to read your Mad Lib with the random rhyming word, and I'm going to award points to whoever has the funniest, most inventive, or which one works.
I see here at the very bottom you wrote, suggested words we could use.
Well, that's too late now. That was just so I could know. So here we go. Spinny, we'll start with you.
Okay.
What is your first one, number one?
Number one, Matt's wife is a real sexual tweezer these days.
Okay. I guess because she's got to get his little dong. All right.
sure,
Matt,
if you wanna.
What is your Mad Lib?
Matt's wife is a real sexual breezer these days.
It kind of sounds like she's easy. I'm going to give the point to Matt.
Thank you.
Point for Matt on this one.
I'm glad we were allowed to plan these out. And
yeah. Matt, go ahead and start with number two.
I didn't know pleasers suck so much.
That's a good one.
Hold on. I got to go. This is the
all
one
right,
that
Spinny.
Made. I didn't know geezers sucked so much.
You know what? Old people do suck. Point for Spinny on that one.
Thanks. That's the only one I'm getting.
Basically, we're doing Mad Libs. I had the guys write down words that rhyme with Weezer, and then we just slotted them in to these ones I wrote. Spinny, start us off with number three.
Now, this is where I chose that word. Did you know pleasers aim to please others? How appropriate. It's not funny.
It's direct, though, which means you might get the point for that, unless Matt's is really funny.
No, it's not. Did you know tweezers aim to please others?
But you also didn't say, did you know, right? But Spinny gets the point on that.
We basically have the same three, almost, whatever, out of order.
I hope this one really works out. Matt, start with number four.
Okay.
These are Mad Libs. Once again, I had the guys write random rhyming words with Weezer and...
CJ's love of seizures caused a lot of relationship trouble with his last girlfriend.
Okay.
Just a huge fan of those.
Okay.
CJ's love of teasers caused a lot of relationship trouble with his girlfriend.
See, this is tough. I was hoping, and again, y'all did it randomly, but Caesar right. would have been perfect. Caesar rhymes with Weezer, either salad or, you know, him himself. Spencer, I'm going to go with teasers because
I think that's better than the love of the fact that you were shaking on top of a woman is why she didn't want to date you anymore.
Yeah, man, I got to say, sorry, person playing on my behalf, but that I one's guess. Way
You
funnier.
Know what? We'll give the point to Matt. The committee has decided and it
and
leaves us tied up.
Today's National Epilepsy Awareness Day, so that really ties in.
So we helped
it?
Him. Okay.
Yeah, we did.
And that leaves us with a tie with this very last one. Matt, we'll start with you.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a Deezer's Nuts that found its way into Spencer's ass.
Okay, good, good. And once upon a time, I misspelled that, not tie. One more time, Matt.
Once upon a time, there was a Deezer's Nuts that found its way into Spencer's ass.
I like that you wrote Deezer's Nuts as the rhyme with Weezer. That's good.
I did ask earlier.
Spinny.
Slam. Once upon a time, there was a cheeser that found its way into Spencer's ass.
That's okay, but again, I just said it's not tie, it's time.
He doesn't
should
listen.
Have known that. I just
no, I did it intentionally.
Matt, you get the point for this because Spencer's making fun of my typos, which I hate. Congrats.
I guess. What did I get?
You're gonna send someone to see Weezer.
But do I get to go see Weezer?
With Spencer, yeah. You both get to watch it on the live stream. Yeah.
You can't even listen to it that. Once upon a
you
time,
know what?
I'm supposed to go with them?
We'll give both people Weezer tickets.
Hey!
Oh, great.
Wait, never mind. We don't have enough.
Boo!
No, they'll have to try again tomorrow.
Okay.
I have another game tomorrow. We're actually going to do Jeopardy's Nuts, which is going to be a Blue Album-themed Jeopardy segment. And I've even made an entire PowerPoint, so more chances to win Weezer tickets tomorrow. It's the Blue Album at the Moody Center, September 27th. Yeah, details, tickets, 101x.com. Woo, woo. A SWAT team raided a man's house over some lost Apple AirPods and movie memorabilia. It's the money printing gift that keeps giving.
The internet has never been so easy.
The internet. Welcome to the internet, where we've got an updated list of some crap that has sold for a lot of money, bringing to us the most recent item being sold from a movie.
Exciting.
And
I saw something about this recently.
It's a ridiculous amount. And Matt, we're going to get to your theory, but your actual insider knowledge, because Matt's a movie star. The floating door that saved Kate Winslet in Titanic sold at an auction for
$1.2 million.
$700,000.
No.
Yeah, Spencer always ruins these guessing things because he goes either close or higher.
He didn't ruin it because I thought he was being ridiculous. I would have thought maybe, I don't know, $7,000?
Yeah, it's a door.
It's a door.
It's not even a real door. It's probably a Hollywood prop.
Well, tell us
it's
the other
not
thing.
Not even the exact door that they lied on for the movie.
Yeah, they make four or five of every prop. Right. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess maybe they certified it as we used this one during filming, but they probably used several. Or how do you know this is the one prop? Like, it seems this is just a way to print money.
The worst part about is it who spends $700 on a door that's only big enough to fit one person?
Well, James,
what are you going to do with it?
James Cameron did later confirm that Jack and Rose both could have fit on it, but they probably wouldn't survive because it wasn't completely buoyant enough.
Oh, they were trying to.
They're trying to rock it, trying to move you. If you're going to die in the frozen art, I'd like to get one in one more time.
I mean, I feel like the body warmth would help a little bit,
it's
right?
Such a dude statement. I'm like, I'm not dissing you on it because I have a dude's brain also. I just love it. Like, hey, well, if I'm freezing to death, hey, take off your clothes.
It's a little smaller than usual. Let's go to some more dumb news. This one has a little bit of audio for us. The SWAT team raided someone's house over stolen AirPods. Seems a little bit ridiculous, right?
I have a feeling there's more to this story.
There is.
Let's find out.
So you're investigating in a violent crime? Man, I drive trucks. Man, I don't know anything about a violent crime. Nothing that was involved in this crime was ever found inside of my house. Once I made it home that morning, I didn't leave again until 1 o'clock. My children don't even want to walk up and down the street because we were humiliated.
All right, that did not teach me anything.
That
more
did not
about
help at all. But
so they weren't at the house. The AirPods.
Let me explain what happened. There was a carjacking, which is why the SWAT team would raid a house. Someone was violently carjacked with weapons, and then they said, "Hey, my headphones are in this house," but the person had actually just dropped their AirPods.
On the street.
In the street.
In front of the house.
In front of the house.
So they used the Apple tracking, whatever you guys
to
have,
find it,
right?
And then they just raided this dude's house for no reason. Yeah.
Not a good look.
Pretty.
Also, didn't even help him clean up, I hear.
Can I say, though, that it is kind of nice to hear that they showed up and tried? I know in Austin, a guy that I know quite well, Bob, who I work with in the mornings, he had his iPad stolen, and then he had the signal coming out of a house. And he actually had somebody who probably wasn't supposed to do this that worked for Apple who went inside and then was using the iPad to take pictures of the person holding the iPad. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So he had pictures of the person holding his iPad and he had the address and then he gave it to APD and they were like, yeah, there's nothing we can do about
it. They really
that's
don't.
Cool.
Well, because it's
like
theft, under, it's theft under a certain amount.
I don't know why they would. Oh, I guess because it was a violent carjack. I mean, never mind.
Yeah, that's
the weapons thing.
That's what made this a SWAT team offense.
Regardless, I feel like they could at least help them clean up a little after, you know what I mean?
They don't do that. Yeah. Have you ever had your house raided?
No.
And been innocent?
Have you had your house raided?
No. But I'm just saying. Clean up.
No, they take all your weapons.
They cut your mattress open, take all your Playboys.
But
I know they're illegal.
That's
taxes.
Not even entered into evidence, is it?
Another tragedy. This is actually a really sad thing that's happening, but I'll explain why I'm talking about it on our segment, The Internet. Late last night, as I was up watching Twitter, a cargo ship crashed into a bridge in Baltimore, brought down the entire bridge. There's still a rescue operation underway. But what frustrates me is the internet has already... Guess where this has gone?
Well, I did early this morning at 6 a.m. see a post that said, barge fuel can't melt steel beams. Is that where you're
saying? It's already become a conspiracy theory. And it's just like, well, what? I'm just asking questions. You should ask questions. It's like, but... Ask educated questions. Also, people are claiming that this is like shutting down one of the largest ports in America. And yes, it's a very large, important port, and it is currently shut down because they're doing a rescue operation. But, bro, there are other ports that could be shut down.
You could send a drone to probably knock the bridge down.
Yeah, people deciding that this is like a terrorist act.
Oh, God.
Not a terrorist act, but it's deliberate. Something just stinks.
Something just ain't right about this.
Something just ain't right about this.
That's what everyone does when a freak accident happens. They're like, this can't happen in our society. We're too smart. We know everything.
I know you want to complain about shipping being shut down and like this is what they're doing, but remember when shipping was actually shut down when a boat got turned around in the Suez Canal? And hey, we still made it. We still survived. But congrats, Internet. You've gone full-on idiotic this week.
Check out the archives, part two.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
Is it weird? Is it wired? We're back with our friend Matt Bearden. He actually didn't go anywhere. Or did he?
You know, earlier today, I was talking to you about the archives a bunch of museums have turned into coloring books that you can download and color. Right?
Yeah, so example you brought up, if there's a Harley Davidson motorcycle manual, they'll take out all the color, they'll make it just black lines, they give it to the archives for free, you can print it, you can give it to your kid, and they can color a motorcycle.
That's a pretty good example.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Have you heard
make your
about,
own coloring book.
But have you, now this goes under the weird category, not the wired category. Have you heard about Habibi Funk?
No.
That sounds awesome. What is it?
It is really, really awesome. So it's hard to imagine because for most of us, the images we've been shown via newspapers and television and what have you since we've all been alive of the Middle East is generally a disruption and also a lot of fundamentalism. But up until the 70s, before there were a lot of revolutions, they were much more free societies and they were really into funk music, but with the instruments that you would generally find in Arab culture.
Cool.
Yeah. And guess what? A lot of the stuff that kind of disappeared from time, some people have gone and they have found old recordings and they have been releasing them over time. And
that's cool.
They were really into psychedelia. Psychedelia and funk. And I got to tell you what, Get out your lava lamp. Get out a beanbag chair. Get out whatever else you need. And fly into Habibi Funk. It's a blast. I spent a lot of time with it last week.
It's the record label. There's a band camp for it here I'm looking at right now because I'm very curious about
then
this.
That may be an actual... If you go to Spotify or Apple Music or Tidal or any of those, you can generally find this label. They are going out of their way to try to find old albums, take one or two tracks off of them. The really cool thing Habibi Funk is doing is they are finding either the artists or they are finding the artist's offspring, and they're cutting them in on like 50-50 deals on this stuff.
Now, is this before or after the British tried to depose the prime minister and back the Shah because they were stealing all the oil from Iran?
So you're getting into the politics part
of it.
I know. And
that's
it's not nearly as much fun. Yeah, and you have to remember, I mean, I will say that if you want to get into that part, there were some people who were mistreated in the days of monarchies. But there were certainly, I mean, you can see pictures, and it's odd to see Iranian youth dancing in co-ed groups and smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol and partying in the disco outfits.
And then the writing is obviously Arabic or whatever, so it's just this really cool look.
Or
Farsi. I can't wait to listen to it.
Well, that's what's awesome about you bringing this up is because I've kind of been on a kick of watching Anthony Bourdain again and shows similar to that, which is where you have this idea when you think of, the Persian Gulf, the Middle East, and or even like some of those old Russian satellite states, and he would go to these places, and it's what you said, Matt, the young people like to do what young people like to
do
here.
Absolutely.
Like it
turns out that young people kind of have a similar bent all around the world, which is they want to change the world, they want more peace, they want to hang out with each other.
But bro, they love those good tunes.
It's the grown-ups that keep screwing everything up. There's even bands from Sudan. Now, obviously, Sudan's been, because of a series of civil wars, is no longer doing as well as it was, but a lot of this music is super cool. You'll hear stuff in there. It's ripe, honestly. It's ripe for you to start taking and recording and then making your own beats, too, if you're someone who likes to make their own music. This stuff is really cool. It sounds different than anything you ever heard. Obviously, the majority of it is not in English.
Can you give us a sample of it?
Sure.
I just realized as a radio listener, I'm wanting to hear some of it.
Now, a lot of this looks like it's from the 60s and 80s, I think, Matt, is what you're saying, sort of that during that prime era, pre-transition to the overly...
When you say 60s and 80s, no. 60s to 80s, yes. Here, I'll give you a little hint of it right here.
That slaps. They had video game tracks down before video gamers did. Like, it's psychedelic, but it's futuristic.
This is Al Masrien and Longa 79. It's one of Egypt's first pop bands back in the 1970s.
You can tell you hear that fucking blast.
Well, that's just one track. I will tell you this, that if you go through all of this, they've now collected, I think, like almost 20 of these albums that you can find. No two songs sound alike. They're all very, very different. And there's some really fuzzy guitar on there.
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
Some jazzy stuff as well. I just think it'll be fun for someone to tell. You can lose a good chunk of your weekend there, which is how I found this and what I did.
Did you know?
Oh, my God.
Time to learn some facts and fun. I know we're far away from Christmas, but did you know one of the most wonderful, endearing, triumphal stories of the season, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, was initially rejected because of his red nose? The same exact thing that made him rejected from his peers and saved the day.
Wow. Was it because it was during the communist scare and we didn't like anything that was red?
You know, kind of close to that, but it was actually because it was the red nose at the time on animations were more associated with drunkards. And so the
Rudolph
illustrator,
the super drunk reindeer.
Well, he's wasted because no one wants to play with him. Okay,
and it's who wants to play with a drunk?
And you know, during the Christmas season, it's stressful with the family and all. So I'm just gonna have me another just a little bit of eggnog.
Ugh.
Anyhow.
Oh, God, gross.
The author asked an illustrator friend to draw a really cute reindeer, and the drawings actually convinced management to support the idea. Aww, so we have
so sweet.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Did you know?
Did we know?
You're probably familiar with the stories about how there were officials at Ellis Island that misspelled people's names, and that's why some names don't reflect how they used to be spelled back in the homeland.
Some people are called Schumacher. Yeah.
Guess
what?
Some
are called Shoemaker.
All of that is a big, fat lie.
Whoa!
Yeah, does not exist. There was nobody taking any notes. Nobody was doing anything at Ellis Island, writing down any names, anything like that. All they did at Ellis Island, they just checked ship manifests. That's it. Turns out that at that time in American history, if you were in New York, you could legally change your name by just changing your name.
You mean Paul Rudd and Bob Dylan didn't have their names misspelled?
So anybody at the time in the late 1800s, early 1900s, if you wanted to change the spelling of your name, if you just started spelling it differently, that's how you legally changed your name back then.
Dude.
We didn't have an IRS. There wasn't someone tracking you down. So nobody really cared how you spelled your name. So sometimes when you'd see a different spelling of a name, it wasn't because of some ne'er-do-well at Ellis Island. It's because your great-great-great-grandfather one day thought, it'd be way cooler if Zions was Zints.
Well, kind of, but there was a lot of xenophobia back then, so you would try to make your name sound more, way more American.
You mean
American.
Like now we're over all that xenophobia?
Yeah,
now
yeah,
we
now
just
that
welcome
we fixed
immigration.
It, yeah.
Okay, okay.
It's like instead of Morgjanovich Donson, we just change it to Morgan.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot more Yankee Doodle Dandy, doesn't it? Sure.
Did you know?
Do we know?
Violet Jessop was a woman who worked as a stewardess/nurse aboard the Titanic when that sank as well, and she survived. She also worked on the Britannic, which sank, and she also survived.
Did you say sank?
Yeah, sank.
It sunk.
And also on the Olympic when it collided with another ship.
Which is the sister, yeah.
She survived all three of these ship sinkings, essentially.
Yeah, I want to float with her.
Actually, it sounds, is anybody investigating whether she was up to no good?
Could be. Was she a big old woman, too?
No, she looks quite nice for it.
Okay. There's an American that is a true hero that most of you have probably never heard of. Have y'all ever heard the name Tom Ryan?
Yes. The stand-up comedian.
This is not him.
Is this Meg Ryan's dad?
No, this is a hero in a different way. Did you know? Tom Ryan was a food scientist who invented Jif peanut butter, Pizza Hut's double stuffed pizza, the McGriddle, McDonald's fruit and yogurt parfait, the Smash Burger, the Meat Lover's Pizza, and Tom Ryan invented McDonald's entire dollar menu.
I don't believe any of that.
I like it.
I don't believe it.
You have to.
You?
It said, did you know?
No.
He's a food scientist that invented stuffed crust pizza. The McGriddle. McGriddle's my favorite thing. Here's what I love about
the
McGriddle.
That's why I don't believe it, because he created all of these things, gifts from heaven.
The McGriddle's not gross, it's great. Yeah. And let me tell you why it's the best road trip food ever, ever, ever.
Because of the nap you take after.
No, because...
So while you're driving.
Here's what you do. You know that your girlfriend's going to be like, can we stop for breakfast? And you don't want to do that. You're like going. So as you're getting ready to leave in the road trip in the morning, you run to McDonald's, you get whatever the crap she wants with egg whites, you get you a McGriddle. You eat that McGriddle and you drink the McDonald's coffee and the hash brown on the way home. Sometimes it's good to put the hash brown in the McGriddle. My point is, the McGriddle plus the coffee, by the time you get home, will completely clear you out of everything that ever existed inside of you, and then you are road trip free and clean. Plus, you know what sucks when you arrive somewhere on a road trip and you're like, oh man, sorry, I'm going to have to blow up your parents' bathroom. Uh-uh. McGriddle already took care of that for you at your house.
Now you're leaving on your trip 30 minutes late.
No, no. You get up in the morning to do these things.
I know how your system works. I know how often you're texting us going, guys, show's going to start a little late today.
Sorry, that's because I got rumbly buns.
Listen, I say that, but that's because I don't have McGriddle, Tom. A McGriddle will punch it through. It is a scientifically engineered clear. You know what? A lot of this
guy's
stuff.
Leaky tum bums. Gonna be 10 minutes late.
I say that to the boss, too.
Sorry, guys. Greasy cheeks here.
Whether you leave crying from laughter or crying for humanity, this show is guaranteed to make you a little moist. M-O-I-S-T. Can't believe they made me say that word. The CJ Morgan Show on 101X.